This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Specific to what happened last night and what happens the rest of the series, I'm saying the same exact thing. There is no such thing as house money. And I know that I've heard it. Some of you guys are walking, some of you guys calling the station. Some of you are tweeting, hey, this sets up a competitive series. No, everything changed last night for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Celtics are banged up. Jaylen Brown's hobbled, Hauser's hobbled. I don't know what's going on with Kristaps Porzingis. And the thing that is very apparent to me, and this is the one thing that I was hopeful about, even though I did not think the Knicks would win the series, I said that, but the one thing that gave me just a speck of optimism was, well, they're coming in battle-tested. Like, as much as it was frustrating going through this, watching the Detroit Pistons, you know, push the Knicks around and force a couple extra games that probably none of us wanted to really sit through, what it really did was sharpen iron and callous the Knicks for this series. Hey, you tell me who looked tougher last night. And the other great thing about this, if the Knicks would have shot, 53% overall instead of 42%, let's say the Knicks were plus 10 on the backboard instead of minus 10, let's say instead of being 17 of 31 from the free throw line, which they were, the Knicks were 29 of 32 or 33. Like, I feel better about this because the Knicks didn't even play well. They didn't even play well. Yeah, they played tough. Yeah, they played clutch. But the Knicks did not play a complete game. The Knicks probably played about a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. So I think so much obviously changes. And now you neutralize, you take away home court advantage. You plant the seed that you mean business. And when I say I don't want to hear about house money, there are no guarantees. I know it's easy, and we do this a lot, and I've done it. What's the Knicks window? You know, 2 years, that's part of the conversation. But it's not part of the conversation today. You know why? Because nothing's guaranteed tomorrow, and certainly nothing is guaranteed next year. I know the Brunson ankle injury this year was a bit of an issue, but the Knicks largely dodged any sort of injury issues this year. They were graced by the injury gods of the NBA. They were pretty much whole and pretty much healthy in terms of their main players almost all season. There's no guarantee that that happens next year. So when you get into round two, whether you're minus or plus 900, you know, to win the whole series, which, by the way, that dropped big time. But coming in, nobody gave this team a shot. I didn't think they'd have a shot. I thought they'd get mopped. I mean, where was the evidence that the Knicks had a chance to win? There was none. The last time they played, right, the Knicks played their hearts out and played great. The Celtics, during the regular season, the Celtics were completely disinterested, and the Celtics still won. So, like, anything that was about the Knicks advancing was not really rooted in reality. It was rooted in hope, and that's okay. I got news for you. The reality's changed a bit. The Knicks could win this series. They could win this series, man. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. It's out of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now, not perfect, but we'll get to that stuff later. Let's hand out some props. Bridges growing tougher by the moment. Now, I know that Jalen Brunson missed that layup, and that was a great play. Listen, I've been on Tom Thibodeau a lot. You guys listen to this, you know that, all right? That was an incredibly well-designed play. Matter of fact, the previous time that they tried to inbound the ball, Jalen Brunson was not the inbounder, okay? They mixed that up. He inbounded to Cat. Beautiful pass. And the crazy thing about that is that Jalen Brunson, a lefty, got the ball on the left side. I think he just rushed it. You know, because I think he released it with like 2.8 or so and just kind of short-armed it a bit. Hey, Jalen, we'll give you a pass. We will give you a pass for that one. And then you can't tell me that you weren't thinking this going to overtime, because I know that I was. Not that I thought that they would lose. Like, my confidence grew, obviously, as the game deepened, even when Brunson missed that shot. But somewhere in the deepest recesses, or maybe for some of you, you know, centrally or on the front of your brain, you were saying, wow, did we just flush this down the chute? Like, are we going to lose in overtime? Is, you know, Tatum or Brown or whomever going to go bonkers? Then the Knicks are going to lose by 9 and they're going to just come into game 2 and get hammered and lose in 5 games? That very easily could have happened. But the reason it didn't is because the Knicks played tough. The Knicks played hard. The Knicks played with fortitude. The Knicks played with purpose. Yeah, the Knicks missed a lot of shots. And the Knicks did a lot of things wrong. And they did just enough right. Wow. Just awesome. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan. So this does change so much. It changes so much. Like, they didn't shoot free throws well. They didn't rebound well. They had a couple of quarters where they were just completely out of whack. And look, well, they were getting blown out. They were down by 20. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, the early foul. I'm not going to start railing on him, but you know he's going to have a game or two where he goes for 29, you know, hits two or three threes. Like, he didn't have it last night. And I do think the Knicks are going to have to really revisit how they deploy him defensively. I'm sorry, but having him chase around wings, you know, 25, 30 feet away from the rim is not a recipe to keep him on the court for a long time. But those are little things. The big thing is, doesn't matter what I thought. Doesn't matter what you thought. Even though some of you thought that they can compete and maybe win the series. The prevailing thought by pretty much everybody in the business, Knicks are about to get mopped. And then you walk to half court, you dap it up, the ball goes in the air, and athletes and humans, not robots and machines, have to play. Knicks won, Celtic zip. All right, let's get to you. Ari, first up, Manhattan, BT and Sound on the Fan. Ari, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, BT? How are you doing?
Good. What's happening?
What a game last night. Sweating bullets the whole night.
Yeah.
Just the whole night. But I wanted to give a little creative take on matchup. You were just talking about, you know, Towns guarding the wing. I was thinking last night, I was talking with a few buddies of mine, what about bringing Cat off the bench? This way, for two reasons, hear me out. He doesn't have to guard the wings. He comes in later in the quarter, maybe Tatum, Brown are out of the game already. And you get around the hack and miss situation because early in the quarter, Celtics aren't in foul trouble. Gives you a defensive push early in the quarter. And you bring Cat with maybe more favorable matchups offensively as well. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Listen, I think it's creative. I don't think there's a chance in hell it's going to happen. I mean, I understand what you're saying from a philosophical, you know, like philosophically speaking, I know what you mean. Yeah, okay, that makes some sense. All right, avoid the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game. Avoid the first ticky-tack foul or two. And because the game just started, takes a bunch of fouls to get over the limit. They could try to foul Mitch as much as they want, but that would minimize the hack. I can't watch that anymore, by the way. That is just. And the crazy thing is I know that Mitch's plus-minus was, I think it was plus 13, but it just stagnates everything. It really does. They're going to have to work around that. But if you were to start him, as the Colvin just brought up, you can't do that because by the time they actually get to the requisite amount of fouls where the Knicks are in the bonus, you know, shooting, well, now you put in Karl-Anthony Towns. And now it's, you would think it's, you know, Knicks' big lead in the first quarter and a lot of foul issues. So, but the reason it's not going to happen, all right, is because he's making $50 million. And he's going to be probably third team All-NBA. And he was the starting center in the All-Star game. That's why. Even if it makes a little bit of sense, a little. Rays in Babylon. Right, BT and Sal, what's going on, buddy?
BT, who had the mop last night?
Yes.
And when I say mop, I'm talking about in the second half, momentum, opportunity, and being physical. That game was legend. It was a classic. Anybody who watched that game, soak it in, dude, because that was legend, okay? And the Knicks really showed that they stepped up because they played the underdog. They exceeded expectations against the Celtics. I love the fact that the Knicks came back as the underdog, and all that momentum, opportunity, and physicality that they had in the second half, darn it, you tell me if they're not going to, if they have better than the puncher's chance.
Well, now they do. Now they do, Ray. Now they absolutely do. Come on. No way. There's no way I'm going to say. And by the way, if I believed it, I would say it. Because I've said a lot of things that you don't like that I've said, many of you, about the Knicks. Even if deep down you've kind of agreed, you're like, come on, man, you're a Knicks fan. Yeah, but I got to tell you what I see. There's not a bigger Knicks fan than me. I love them. But I have not liked what I've not, well, I've liked, I've not loved what I've seen this year because my, my expectations changed. When you make the move, that's why I said yesterday, that's why I've said for a while now, when you make the moves that you make, and you give up all the picks for Bridges, you get Towns, you get rid of guys that we liked, you know, Randall and DiVincenzo, the Hartenstein stuff, they couldn't control that. I've said that a million times. But all these things that have transpired where I'm like, all right, you know, they won a lot of games. All right, yeah, back-to-back 50-win seasons plus. Okay, good. Here we go. Another in the third straight year, second round of the Eastern Conference semis. Yes, I'm very appreciative. I'm very appreciative. But I, and this is where you and I, many of us differ. I don't compare, like, where the Knicks are now to where they've been. That doesn't interest me. I want a championship. Funny, Sal was saying this. This is interesting. Now, Sal's back tomorrow. I'm looking forward to having him back. But Sal was saying for a while, going back to when we first started, about the Mets, like, you know, it didn't excite him about being a playoff team. He wants a World Series. And I get it. And it's even more, I think, not to speak for him, but it's even more amplified for me now compared to his Mets situation because the Knicks have been really good for a couple of years. So each year you put a few more, you know, a few more chips in the middle of the table. So that's why I have been maybe a little bit of a Debbie Downer. All right. I'll wear it. I'll own it. It doesn't mean I can't change my mind. Now, this isn't like, oh, Knicks in six. There's nuance here, and I'll get into some of that as the show goes on. But this is about waking up pumped. Pumped. They didn't respect us at all up there. I told you this, and I got to find a way to tweet this out. I'll get you the actual video. So last week, they call our boss, Ryan Hurley. Hey, can we get Tierney on to do a hit with our local NBC affiliate? Sure. Again, they're still playing the Pistons. I'm like, all right, I'll jump in. I'll have a little fun. And, they're, you know, I walk now. I don't know what they're doing in real time because they're just interviewing me. And then the way these you know, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. news clips go, they are, you know, maybe a minute. And I spoke to them for maybe a minute and a half. But I spoke to them for a good 15 minutes, and they take a couple of sound bites, right? Then they're talking to people outside of Fenway Park and outside of TD Garden and outside of bars and, like, just getting the Boston vibe. Not one of them respected us. Like, they had already mentally, I'm not saying the Celtic players, had already mentally punched their ticket to the conference finals. And you know what? On some level, in my own mind, even though, of course, I had to put the good fight up because I'm not going to let them know up there that, you know, that we're worried about them, you know? But I just didn't feel this team this year. But things change. And a change of the Pistons series, even though there were some very confounding moments. You've got to start winning at MSG. Hey, this I will say. If Madison Square Garden turns back into, and I saw the video last night for the watch party, so that was awesome. If the Garden turns back into what it usually has been during, you know, mid-May and possibly June runs, going back to the day, Well, then the Knicks could get to the championship. Because there are a lot of things that have happened here. Think about this, guys. They are gelling. The chemistry is becoming more apparent. You've got the best closer in the game. They won on the road with by playing. I mean, the effort was an A, but a B minus, maybe a C plus. They were 17 for 31 from the stripe. And they got out-rebounded by double figures. They didn't play great. They played tough. They played tough, right? So now you send the message to the Celtics, who are suddenly backpedaling, and they are wounded. They are banged up, and we're healthy. So, yeah, things have changed. Robbie is in the...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom's River, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's happening, Rob?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man.
I am back to, I'm going to self-admit, after the Piston game at home, game five, I was completely tapped out, and I am completely back. Hop and I were talking a little bit. They have to play like they played on that 33-11 run in the middle of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. We will win this series in six games. We are not even going to go to a seventh game.
That was the
best basketball game I have ever watched in my 28 years.
Is that true? That's number one for you.
Number one in my 28 years of life. If I didn't die watching that game, I'm going to live a very, very, very long life.
God bless you, man. Hopefully the Knicks have a very, very long life in front of them now. I mean, you got to say they got a chance. You know, listen, it's one thing to react to what you see. I've always said that. I'm going to react to what I see. I'm going to react to the evidence presented to me. Now, sometimes I'll have to kind of piece things together. So it's like evidence, and then it's what I, maybe some core beliefs, and I'm kind of throwing one big ball when I tell you what I'm thinking. But if I'm going to live by that premise of reacting to what I see, then I have to react to what I saw last night. And what I'm saying is, yeah, the Knicks absolutely have a shot. Joe's in Brooklyn. A good one at this point. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning, Mr. Tierney. A pleasure talking to you. I haven't called you in a very long time.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm not taking anything away from the win. Awesome win. I have trouble watching them because my anxiety level goes through the roof. I got to, like, check the score on my iPad. I'm brought back to the 90s. And, first of all, the greatest Knick game I remember seeing in my 62 years was Ewing's putback in 94. But that,
again, was awesome.
Two quick stats. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, yes.
Two quick stats.
Good.
You said the missed free throws, one thing. 14 free throws almost killed them.
Yep.
And Boston only hit 15 out of 60 three-pointers. Do we really think they're going to miss three-pointers, that many three-pointers? And look what the missed free throws did in the Denver Thunder game. Mm-hmm. So I just want to hear your comments. Great show.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Joe. No, listen, last night was a blast, man. Now, yeah, I do think that the Celtics are going to play better, although one of the big advantages going into the series was depth. And their depth got compromised last night. It's a big piece of the puzzle. Hauser's good. He's important to them. And I don't know what's going on with KP. He's battled this for a while. I don't know. And, you know, Jaylen Brown looks a little compromised. I thought it was a good observation by Gio. You know, when you do these games, right? And I just know this from having done St. John's. Like, you get fed stuff, and they say, hey, you know, just don't quite say it the way I'm letting you know, but they'll give you background so that you can do your job better. And Gio's observation, I didn't necessarily think it in real time when Reggie said it, but I thought it watching Jaylen Brown hobble around, it's almost like Reggie maybe, as what Gio said, but I don't disagree. Maybe Reggie was fed some stuff to, you know, characterize where he is physically Brown, and he just kind of dropping some breadcrumbs throughout the night. Eh, Brown doesn't quite have the elevation. Yeah, Brown quite not as explosive. Yeah, Brown this. Yeah, Brown that. That's Brown's problem. That ain't my problem. That ain't your problem. That's their problem. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. There is nothing. There is nothing. And this includes the Yankees, who I love. Although, well, Devin Williams, we'll get them later. There is nothing like a massive later, you know, not first round, massive Nick win for this city. It is on. Today's going to be great. Knicks get it done. Three more, and it's going to take everything they got to get them. But, man, it is, it's a stunning start, certainly for me, and I think for many of you as well. And I don't know what's more stunning, that the Knicks won or that Jason Tatum was so awful when it mattered. How about this? Jason Tatum is the first player to go 0-for-7 from the field and 0-for-6 or worse on threes in the fourth quarter of a playoff game since 0-6. 2 points, 0-for-7 overall, 0-for-6 from downtown. That sounds like a them problem, not an us problem. But it was just, I mean, you know, you love when you just grind through it and you find a way to win when you don't always have your best stuff. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns didn't even get to play a lot. And when he did, like, there was a sequence that he really struggled getting to his spot, getting his shots off, like, you know, moving his feet on defense. Hey, listen, he contributed a bit. I'm not here to bang on Karl Anthony Towns today, but they didn't play an A-plus game, which is generally what's required to beat the defending champions, you know, first game of a conference semifinal in their crib. You know, but I think the three things that stand out to me, obviously, clutch daggers from Brunson. What else is new? I mean, we're used to it. But Josh Hart's multiple offensive rebound sequence early was insane. Josh Hart, I forget who it was now. All these plays blur together. Ripping the ball away from one of the Celtics. Remember when he thought he hurt his hand? And then Bridges being tough and being, you know, physically resilient and stripping a ball away and getting it at the end. I mean, I don't know. Does Bridges make that play a couple of months ago? I don't know. But he's become, you know, one thing about Bridges, and this is, I know it's easy to knock him around, and I think I've defended him more than not. My criticism has been what they gave up to get him. The role, is there a little redundancy with him at OG, although OG's definitely better. But it hasn't been, like, I've defended him. I think that he's been a little unfairly hit in the court of public opinion by Knicks fans because of what the Knicks gave up. You know, but I think he's had a better season than many of you probably portray it to be. But one thing about this guy, I mean, he could be invisible, whether it's the Pistons series, the certainly the one game, they're down 11, bang, from the corner, hits a massive triple, right? And then obviously another one late that game. And he just has a penchant for making plays when you think he's just about done. And that's a characteristic that you've got to at least kind of look at and say, maybe he is built for New York City. Maybe he is okay with this thing, you know? And the other thing I said yesterday, and by the way, that is now three, I said that we're going to need, Dove, what was the number, 13 or 14 threes from Deuce McBride in the series for the Knicks to win? I gave you that. Of course, you don't know. I got you. He's like, I don't know. Thanks, Dove. Good talk. I'm like, it was either 13 or 14. You don't have to look it up. 13 or 14. You got three last night. So here we go. Like, I don't think that they can win without him doing something. Because when Deuce McBride, even though he's very much in a secondary role, it's just different. Like, yes, you know, you get a little something from campaign, but Deuce's, I think Deuce's ceiling has always been pretty high. And I don't know what the hell happened to him this year, but it took a massive step back. I know he was hurt to start the season. That was part of it. But if we're about to get, you know, the Deuce that I think many real true Knicks fans who watch every game, if we're getting that guy back, you know, from a year ago, now there's no ceiling on what these guys could do. All right, let's get back to you guys here. 888-808-1019. Pete's in Seaford. Pete, BT and Sal, what's cooking?
Hey, BT, how are you?
Good, good.
You know, we spoke late last week after the Pistons series, and I open-ended asked you, you know, can Tibbs pull things out of his rear end that he did not do all season long? And we both sort of said, no, he's not going to. And yet, And yes, he pulled things out of his rear end last night that the Knicks did not do all season long. They went away from the drop coverage on defense, which the Celtics just absolutely cooked, and they switched everything, and it didn't look great all the time, but it was just enough to get the job done. Sticking with Robinson, who was a team high plus 13, I think, despite 7 or 8 missed free throws, was a tremendous show of gumption from this team. And also, you mentioned Deuce. Huge game from Deuce McBride.
Yes.
Going to get lost in the sauce of the Bridges defensive performance, Anunoby and Brunson. But the way that Deuce played early in the fourth quarter that gave Brunson that really long rest where the Knicks made this comeback.
That's a good point.
It felt like Brunson wasn't on the court for like 20 minutes of real time.
That's a good point.
During that whole stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you have Captain Clutch coming back in with 6 minutes to go to bring us home was such a feeling where, I mean, BT, I'm at my buddy's house last night. I'm ready to pack it up and go home with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. I'm going to be in bed. And here we go. And an absolute masterclass from Tom Thibodeau last night. Maybe the best game he's coached all season. And you alluded to this earlier. Alan Hahn said it this morning on ESPN. This Celtics team is arrogant. They're cocky. They're ready to go to the finals. They think it's there. It's there. They're automatic.
Yeah,
they have to get through this Knicks team first, and I don't know that that's a guarantee right now.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, now it's not. That's for sure. No matter what we were talking about before the series started, certainly not a guarantee now. I mean, there's no guarantee they got out of Boston with a win, the Celtics, the way they're banged up. They might come back to the Garden. They might come to the Garden down 2 games to 0. And either way, like, and it's not the fans' fault. It's just for whatever reason, you know, the Knicks have not played well at the Garden this year. 27-14. That was in the regular season. And they allowed the Pistons to be way too comfortable. That has to change. Has to. Now, I don't want to go nuts here. Stay a little grounded in the reality of what's going to be a very tough task still, all right? But Cavaliers lost, you know? So the teams and even the Thunder, but I forget about that now. Like the teams the Knicks couldn't beat, those teams suddenly can't win. I know it's early, small sample, but there's a couple of things here. And again, now I'm just going to get a little wacky and engage in some nuttiness for a moment. I'm a little giddy here. All right, so let's say the Knicks win the series. And let's just say, like the Pacers beat the Cavs. Home court advantage Knicks in the conference finals, number one. Let's say the Celtics are really, really banged up, and they are. I don't know that we see Hauser anytime soon, and I think Jaylen Brown's going to be intermittently effective, but he just doesn't have that bounce that he has when he's one of the better players in the NBA. Let's say somehow the Knicks not only win, but make it a little shorter maybe than we think. And then even if the Cavaliers come back and win that series, which they probably will, you know, let them knock the stuffing out of each other, and the Knicks could be rested. Like, so much, again, that is a massive, massive leap of faith, and I don't want to say extrapolating, because you called out on that, but like, again, really extrapolating a lot of things from different things, but it's not completely impossible. It really is not. 888-808-1019. Let me get Pete in WannaQ. I always mess this one. I believe it's WannaQ. What's going on there, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, BT?
Pete.
I guess it is WannaQ, New Jersey.
WannaQ, gotcha.
Yeah. Chiming in on Mikal Bridges, you know, I think it was a great trade, and I'll tell you why. I know it seems like we gave up a lot, but we got not a number one, a number two, a number three, but a number four. He's a number four in the depth chart for $24 million, so it fit our budget. People can criticize, yeah, we could have maybe traded for Booker. We can't afford a $50 million salary anymore. We have to stay within our budget, and that's why it kind of worked out great for both teams.
Well, hold on a second, Pete. Just, you know, the finances are a little tricky in the NBA, like with the Hartenstein stuff and the stupid CBA stuff that I barely understand. I do this for a living. Yeah, I understand. Mikal Bridges deals up, so they're going to have to give him big, big money.
Correct.
So,
plus,
he's not making $24 million forever is what I'm saying.
Well, for the time being, and by the way, he played 51 minutes.
I know.
This is a guy who plays every day.
I know.
So, I mean, give me a guy like that at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he doesn't shrink. Like, he might disappear. Thanks for the call, Pete. He might get lost in the flow of the game because, you know, I mean, Brunson's amazing, and you know, Cat's going to get the ball, and, you know, OG is 29 last night. By the way, I was saying this morning to somebody. I think OG, I don't know, he's obviously not their best player. That's Jalen Brunson. I think OG is clearly their least flawed player. Like, there's nothing that he doesn't do anything egregiously wrong. Like, I mean, Brunson, he's a couple of years away from getting that statue that we always kid around about, but he's not a good defender. So that's like one big deficiency for Brunson. You know, and Cat, there's just some intermittent, you know, drops in performance, or maybe not as tough as we want, and Bridges kind of disappears for a little bit, whatever. OG is an elite defender. He's an elite shooter from the wing. He seems to make the right play, and he's always got good energy. So, I mean, that's the guy who was absolutely phenomenal. How about Gus and Mamaroneck? What's going on, Gus?
Hey, BT, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I spoke to you last week, I believe Thursday or Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and what's up, buddy?
I did say to you that the Knicks were battle-tested after the Pistons series, and that they're going to be gelling more and more as each game comes up before them. And the fact that Bridges and Towns is becoming more part of the unit compared to the beginning of the year, you know, when they first came, because everything was like a disarray. But now they're starting to gel more. I know it's Brunson's team and he controls the show, but I did say that after that series that this team's going to be a dangerous team because they're becoming more solid with each other. You know, and what do you think about that?
Well, I think that there's something to that, and I said it before. I think the chemistry is more apparent. Yeah, I think there's more gel. I was frustrated because, you know, I would have thought that 82 games during the regular season would have been enough to get that a little bit more than where I perceived it to be coming into this series. Again, there were, guys, let's not forget, not that it matters today, but it's part of the context of how we've gotten to where we are. Let's not forget, there were a lot of moments of frustration with this team, and not just because they couldn't beat the good teams. The Pistons, like, we came in here a couple times, like, what the hell's wrong with this team? You know, now, what does it mean for game two against the Celtics? It doesn't mean anything, but it's been part of their journey. And part of their journey has been a little confounding. There's always been upside, but, you know, and I'm still not sure that they fully get there. I'm hopeful, you know, I'm rooting for them. But some of the things that worry me, while those fears are dissipating a little bit, they're not completely gone after one win. I mean, the Celtics aren't going to shoot that poorly again. Maybe the next decade. So you got to factor that in. Doesn't mean you don't bask in the win. You do. Doesn't mean you don't enjoy it. You do. Doesn't mean that you don't recalibrate what you think this team could do this series. You should. And I have. But just know the Celtics that we watched last night, that's not the Celtics. But the good news is the Knicks didn't play great, and they still won. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan coming up. We'll get back to the calls. We've had a couple of baseball items. Good stuff for the Mets. Devin Williams is just a disaster. I mean, they got their hands full with him. So we'll get to that as well. Back to the Knicks calls. I'll get more extensively into Devin Williams and, you know, some of the bullpen issues here with the Yankees and really just some of the overall issues. But this is why I wasn't as bullish on them as many of you were. Like, you know, when I thought long and hard, me and Sal do our over-unders for the season, like, I didn't just take the over because, oh, I'm a Yankee fan. Like, you know, I almost didn't touch that. And the over was 90.5. And I said, slightly over, 91, 92. And, you know, now you start to see a lot of reasons why. And what's really scary about this, and again, I'll do more of this later in the show. I want to get back to the Knicks, but just plant the seed. What's really scary about this, Aaron Judge's not going to hit 430 the whole season, although knowing him, he might try. But, I mean, he's going to have a couple of weeks where, just because it's baseball, where he's 190, you know, 2 for 21, you know, 3 for 26 with 8 punch-outs. It's just going to happen, man. Now, he's probably going to still hit 360 or 370, whatever he might do. I mean, he's ridiculous. But without Judge and without Grisham, who before this year hadn't hit over 200 in back-to-back years, like, where's the offense? Not to mention the bullpen with Williams, but we will get to that later. The Yankees have blown 5 games from the 8th inning on. 5. It's May 6th. All right. 888-808-1019 is the number. Back to the Nick energy here. Feeling pretty good about this. Rodney's up in Boston. What's up, Rod?
Hello? You hear me?
Yeah. What's going on, buddy?
BT, yeah. What up, Doug? Yeah. Nice to hear from you, bro. I'm always listening to you, man. You and Sal look good.
Thanks,
so,
man.
So, two things. I want to speak a little bit about Tibbs and Mikhail. I'm going to make it rapid fire. Mikhail, man, I think this is the guy that we got rid of those picks for. Just defend, make high-impact defend-level plays, and hit timely shots. The Brooklyn Mikhail, I don't think that's what we can't expect 20-plus from him every night. We just can expect him to make defensive energy plays, clutch, and hit a timely shot here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Now to Tibbs. I agree with you with Tibbs, man. I'm not a Tibbs guy. I've never been a Tibbs guy. I think he's a good coach, not a championship-winning coach, although I would love to be proven wrong.
Yep.
Hey,
by the way, Rod, hold on a second, Rod. Let me be a little more specific, because you know what I've said, and I know what you just said, but what are your reservations specifically about Tom Thibodeau? I'm curious.
Adjustments, or lack thereof, in-game, okay. In real time.
Yep. Fair enough.
The minutes allocation.
All right.
And, we can go a whole thing on that.
I was just curious. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's mainly adjustments, you know what I mean, or lack thereof,
yep.
In real time. Because I think he does a decent job of, like I said, the game's over, and he comes back and does something. But while things are happening in real time, bullets are flying, so to speak, I don't think he adjusts the way he needs to. But I will say this. Yesterday, he did something that half of Knicks Twitter was asking for, which is get rid of the drop coverage.
Yep.
You just got to switch everything. And live with them attacking the weakness, which is Cat and Brunson.
Because mm-hmm.
When he gets us in when the Celtics get you in rotation, it's raps for you. When they get you in rotation, then the guys are just wide open.
That's
shots.
A wrap.
It's a wrap. So I lived with it, Cat. And one more point, Cat. I think you gave him a little bit. You didn't bang on him, but I don't think you gave him the credit that he deserved for yesterday, man. He was in foul trouble, so therefore his offensive rhythm was out of whack. He got fouled a couple times, didn't call. What else is new? And I think he had big rebounds, and I think he had timely stops on defense, whether you want to say that the Celtics bailing him out or whether you want to say he forced him into a three. I don't know. Whatever the case is, I think Cat played better. We can't always expect 30 and 10.
I got you. By the way, good call. I think you hit on a lot of good stuff there. And, no, I'm not. By the way, I did give him some props there. I just, it's only 51 minutes into the show. You got to go for the big stuff. No, Cat absolutely had a couple of pivotal contributions. And I thought certainly one where he went straight up on the three. Was that his second or his third foul? I think it was his second. But I don't even know if that was a foul. Like, I do feel like he sometimes gets a suspect whistle against him. I'll say that. And it works both ways, when he's playing defense, but also when he's on offense. Now, the defense, I just think that sometimes he gets screwed, plain English, right? But the offense, he looks very, and maybe this is part of my issue with him, because aesthetically, he doesn't look like a fluid, explosive, polished guy. And like it's just like choppy or not even soft. I'm not saying that, but it's just not, you know what I'm saying. You see, like, it's hard for him sometimes to go from point A to point B, whether it's on the dribble. I mean, last night, he had somebody pinned in the post. Who the hell was it? Was it Derek White? Somebody small. And I don't think it was White, but it may have even been Horford, whatever. But still, you're bigger than Horford. You're bigger than everybody, except KP, who was out. And he gets it on the left block, and there's only about 6 seconds to go on the shot clock here. But, like, he initially had single coverage, all right? And he read it, but he didn't react properly. And then by the time he started to react and he started rolling to the middle, now here comes the weak side help defender, and now he's lost. I'm like, dude, just put his ass in the cycle. Just go, just keep going. And, like, those are the things that frustrate me about Cat. But he's definitely valuable, and he's definitely incredibly talented. He was a starting all-star center. I am critical. But that's the standard that I hold our stars to. That's just the way it's going to be. How about, let me get Scott Northport. Scott, BT and Sal.
BT, what's going on?
Scotty.
I love you, BT. I just want you to, but again, take this, don't take this too hard, but I want you to go back to very negative BT from yesterday. That worked out very well for us. I don't like this more positive BT today. I want to go negative. I want to think about firing Leon Rose. I want to hear all that again. Can we do that again?
I don't know if I can do that today here, Scott. Maybe I can. What, you want me to conjure up that energy before game two? No, listen.
Yeah, because that worked out so well for the Knicks. I want to just keep, I don't want to, you know, touch the money. Let's just keep rolling with negative BT.
Well, but Scott, that... All right, Scotty. I mean, I know you mess around. It's all good. Well, I think you're kind of messing around. I know that in jest there's truth. I get that. I understood. But I don't think I would. Thanks for the call, man. I would not characterize my. Maybe some of you will and have. And actually, I know that you have. I would not characterize my on-air demeanor, which is also my on-air energy about the Knicks, off-air, but my on-air presentation about the Knicks as negative. That's not the way that I would frame it. So maybe I'm playing the semantics here. Maybe I am a little critical. Maybe I'm a little less and have been a little less enthusiastic about the prospects of them doing what we all want them to do. But negative. I can't wear that hat. I can't wear that. I'm not a negative person. You know? Nah, at the end of the day, I'll do whatever it takes for the Knicks to get there, win it all. I mean, but no, I think really, I think my take on like the other thing too is, truth of the matter is, not everybody on the air because of it's a football and baseball driven medium, even though we love our Knicks, but not everybody on the air really takes the Daily Pulse like checks in on the Knicks like I do, I follow them every night. Now I'm not gonna lie and say I watch Tip the Buzzer. Sometimes I'll fast forward. Sometimes it's a late start. I'm like, all right, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Sometimes they're up 20, they're down 20. All right, or sometimes I'm doing a St. John's game, but I just can't. But I am as immersed in the Knicks as anybody that is on the air in New York City. Period. From camp till the end of the year. So I don't think it's been negative. I honestly think I've given them what they've earned. They've gotten respect. They've gotten gratitude for the 51 wins. But that came with questions. And maybe last night was a big step forward. And them answering a question, I'll be honest about this. And still don't fully think they are capable of answering. God, I'd love to be wrong. And I've said that every time I feel like, God, I hate that I have to say this, but I got to do it because it's what I believe. I always say, but I hope I'm wrong, and I mean it. Triple, and I was wrong last night, although I said take it to the bank, take the 9.5 points. I said that on the air. I said I love the Knicks. Like, I thought the Knicks would play a tight game. I said bang the 9.5 points. So hopefully you did. Hopefully you made a few bucks. If you took the money line, even better. I wasn't going that far.